Watson is a Masterton-based artist with a unique point of view. His work combines painting and carving, the modern and the primitive, to provide the viewer with quirky, subversive narratives that explore Aotearoa's colonial and post-colonial history. His work hangs in premium galleries across New Zealand, and he's had solo shows in Auckland, Wellington, and just last year here in Masterton's Aratoi. In February this year, Harry opened his very own dealer gallery, the Watson Gallery, at 2 Perry Street in Masterton. Before I met Harry, I'd naively assumed that the idea of opening a gallery would be heralded by at least a bit of planning or forethought. But no, it turns out inspiration can strike at any time. So I'm here in your wonderful art space, the Watson Gallery. Would you just describe to me how it came about that the Watson Gallery is here now, 2 Perry Street?
Okay, well, I knew someone who was looking for a flat. And I feel for people looking for flats because it's they're not easy to find. So I thought an extra pair of legs might help her. But lo and behold, it wasn't a flat. I saw it as a future gallery. And I happened to be standing there, so I said I'd take it. It was completely spur of the moment. There was no plan whatsoever to own a gallery or to run a gallery, but I kind of jumped. It was the space. The space was like, I grew up in Wellington, and my mother used to take me to the Peter McCleavy Gallery. And I had a friend who worked for Peter McCleavy, and he opened a gallery in Auckland. And both of those galleries had the kind of feel that this building does. And as an artist, and now as a dealer, I feel, and in a similar building to which I grew up, I feel full circle. I have a shrine that I can share with people, a shrine to art. I had 50-50 thoughts for a day, and I thought, well, I might regret it if I open a gallery. But I know I will regret it if I don't. So it was pretty clear from the outset.
Yeah. And that was February 2020?
Mm-hmm. February this year.
So just before a major pandemic, Harry.
Yeah. Yep.
How did the pandemic and COVID and level 4 kind of impact on you being able to get up and running?
I had to stay away for roughly a month. But over that time, I had a sell-out show from my first artist, apart from myself. I had the first show. The second show was Jason Burns, and that's pretty much sold out. So the gallery's doing a bit better than breaking even. Despite COVID, despite the winter, and despite being new, and despite being unknown.
Well, you're not really unknown, are you? You're not unknown.
No, the gallery is unknown.
So I think you're a major draw. When you created this gallery and you had the first show, did it kind of pan out in your mind? You knew exactly what artists you'd like to exhibit here?
Yes, my own work in the first show is not going to happen again. I have galleries elsewhere in New Zealand that I show my work in, so I don't need to do that. The artist must make work like no other. I think that's the criteria. If I'm drawn enough to it, if I love it enough, and if it's unique enough, I'm not selling anything. I'm not a salesperson. I will naturally enthuse. And that's what I love about a dealer gallery. A good dealer gallery should have a very deep-seated, non-commercial streak where it's the passion for a certain artist and their work.
Currently exhibiting work like no other at the Watson Gallery is Bill Taylor. Here's Harry describing the work Bill is sharing in his exhibition, Tide Rack.
Mm-hmm. Bill collects driftwood from around New Zealand in his travels, and he's subtitled it "Story Messages from the Sea." So he looks at a piece of driftwood and he speculates about where it might have come from, who might have handled it, what it was used for, and then he places his small, what he calls a small contribution, onto that driftwood, which is a very moody style of horizon lines. He also does a marine alphabet, sets the letters into the driftwood.
Like inlay, isn't
inlaid,
it?
Inlaid, yeah.
And the quality of the paint on the driftwood of these panels that we can see in your office, I mean, it's kind of like an enamel. Kind of sharp, and you want to touch it because they're so shiny and crisp.
Yeah, and the it's built up after layer of layer and layer and layer of acrylic enamel. And then it's given an acrylic lacquer. And you're right, yes, they are shiny, and what happens when you walk past them is those reflections ping up and down the artwork as you walk past. It's like if you were completely enclosed in a room with only one window, you'd feel like you were at the sea by walking past these.
Yes.
You'd feel like the sunlight was glittering off the sea.
Harry has developed a unique take on the gallery newsletter. He creates regular videos with the help of his friends Harry and Harriet. While I was there, I was lucky enough to be introduced to the whole team.
Harriet, can you come over here a minute, Harriet?
What do you want now?
This lovely lady here wants to know a bit about our videos.
Well, that's not my job. I'm an artist, don't you know, darling, and I'm going up to the gallery.
All right, Harriet, off you go then. Well, that was Harriet. She can be a bit harsh.
Yeah, she's a handful, eh?
Yeah. And we've also got Harry, who's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, can you come over here a minute? Oh, what do you want? Can you describe our videos for this lovely person? Oh, no, not really, I don't know. You're the one that does it all. I don't care, I just want to go home and paint. All right, Harry, off you go then.
They're not very helpful to you.
No, they're not. but Harry's been known to do the odd vacuuming sometimes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And Harriet just hangs around trying to look arty, which is her job, really.
Yeah.
Her job is to be arty.
And how long have Harry and Harriet been part of your family?
Since the gallery opened.
Okay. Oh, so they're a relatively new acquisition.
Yeah. They are their own response to the gallery. I like to have a slag at the art world, basically. It's kind of like if you walk into a room and you do not feel comfortable, and you're dressed a certain way, and you do not feel comfortable. There are galleries like that, where the look on the person's face is, you can't afford anything that's in here. And it's true of theatre. It's true of building, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to use that drill, mate. That's just a piece of crap. So it's everywhere. That's what I like to slag off.
Yes.
And make fun of is people's affectations.
Yeah.
Uppertiness.
Yeah. Snobbiness.
Snobbiness.
You know, certainly as a viewer of art, I understand that sensation of being made to feel that you're not welcome. And it's not helpful.
No.
No.
No. I think there's a lot of the art speak as well, which I'm going to have a go at in the future. The world's my oyster there, because they make words up. They try and complicate it and shut people out. Potential customer came up and said they don't understand art. I said, neither do I. Why would I?
Mm.
You don't need to understand art. He said he went into Aratoi, saw a painting, and it affected him for some hours afterwards. I said, that's all you need to know. That is all you need to know. You do not have to understand the artist's intention. You have to understand how you feel. What your response is valid. Your response is the main thing as somebody who wants to own a piece of art.
Harry's huge interest in New Zealand history is obvious in much of his work. His paintings and carvings frequently reference Aotearoa's colonial past and reflect back at the viewer some of the travesties, absurdities and reverberations of colonialism in this country.
I think from the outset, the evils of colonialism are ongoing. They were perfectly empathetic and wonderful Pākehā leaders who would have the Māori flourish under their own governorship.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those that didn't. And the same, I think, applies today.
Mm-hmm.
I think how laws have come in line to a great extent to protect Māori, but I don't think the attitudes have changed. I think it's going to be a scattergun kind of thing. There's probably racists that are hiding. They probably hide now. But having read history, it seems that there always has been that empathy as well.
And how does that interpretation or your view of that kind of history and its impact on today show itself in your work currently?
Well, Joseph Banks was a dandy, and I loved that. He used to dress up with collars and things like that. And I thought I just sort of had a bit of a laugh at him for that. And some of our nastier forebears, ancestors, I try and laugh at them.
Harry's work has been described as speaking of the culture clash between colonial and post-colonial New Zealand by recreating and subverting the historical narrative. His 2018 mixed media piece, Cameron's Doubt, which currently hangs in Dunedin's Milford Gallery, is one such example.
Yeah,
here's
Cameron.
Harry.
Cameron's Doubt. So I like to surrealise our history. Governor Grey wanted Cameron to build a road into Te Whiti's territory in order to attack. Cameron wasn't too pleased with this, and he slowed progress right down to an almost stop. So I called that work Cameron's Doubt. It's a painting within a carved frame.
And you carved the frame?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I carve everything.
Yeah.
And not only is it Cameron's Doubt, but it's also about attack. And the way people attack each other in all sorts of ways. We have a ship bombing a Māori village. We have a ferret growling at nature. We have monsters under the sea. And we have a computer virus. Document.ready function hack client equals system.get c/delete message equals bye bye. Document.ready function equals hack client. So that's a computer virus.
Wow, it carved into the frame.
Yeah.
That mash-up between the, you know, that history and the modern attack.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was all about unasked-for aggression.
Mm.
And Cameron's in the middle of it, looking with a doubtful face.
Mm. Yeah, in the bottom right hand of the painting.
I guess it starts with ideas, and then I could either carve first or paint first. Mm. It doesn't really matter. The work I'm working on now is called Duck Fishing. I did the carving first, and then I did the painting. And another contemporary work I just finished, I did the carving first and the painting after that. But it doesn't really matter, because if I do a painting first, I can respond to that with a carving. If I do a carving first, I can respond to that with a painting. And then it becomes a full circle idea. And it doesn't have to make sense. I'm actually starting to come away from making sense. Like, duck fishy is about avoiding suspicion. Duck as in avoid. Fishy as in suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
It's about taking charge of your own mistakes.
Kind of taking responsibility?
Yeah, for your mistakes and things you may or may not do wrong. And there is a self-consciousness in New Zealand art whereby artists think they probably have to put a tui in there somewhere, or a pukeka, or a huia, or something. I don't have to represent New Zealand anymore, I don't think. Not that I won't, Not that I won't, but I don't have to. I can be a global artist. I found myself thinking, oh, well, you know, there's nothing of New Zealand in this painting. Why don't I just put a few Kiwis in there? And I did because I enjoyed the Kiwis, and they were great characters in the painting. But I thought, well, now let's just try getting away from that New Zealand self-consciousness.
And is that a recent kind of progression in your thought process and your philosophy?
Yeah, it was done in the last couple of years.
And has it been quite liberating for you as an artist to kind of free yourself from that?
No, it hasn't, because I enjoyed the Saturnian dark nature of New Zealand history.
Mm.
I loved it, and still do.
Yeah.
I just think it's marvellous to be able to be a witness to it without having to personally go through that period of history.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a shift, not a liberation, because I was free then, I'm free now.
Mm. Clearly you're incredibly successful.
Mm.
But was the fact that you hadn't gone to art school, was that a barrier at any time for your development as an artist, or your ability to break through into the art world and have your work recognised?
No, I don't think so. There was a certain art group came, professed not to buy work from artists who hadn't been to art school. I thought, oh yeah, right, okay, you won't want to be coming to my studio then. But they ended up commissioning work from me. I didn't say anything. But I just found that kind of attitude very, very strange.
Mm.
You can be an artist without having to go to art school. You can also be a computer programmer. Some of the best programmers are self-taught. They have to prove that they can do the work.
Have you had kind of mentors and teachers out there that have guided you along the way? And what's their impact been?
Ah, right. Hieronymus Bosch and Pieter Bruegel. Now, I deliberately attempt, at least, to be only influenced by those two artists. And nothing like a slavish copy. My work will be nothing like those artists. But it's the kind of the very basic surrealistic intent to express an idea in a way that you can't explain. If you can explain an artwork, it is dead to you. Oscar Wilde said, if you understand an artwork, it is dead to you. And if someone wants to find a meaning in art, it's better that they don't. It's better that they don't.
It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
And I look forward to kind of just keeping an eye on what's popping up, and hopefully we can talk again in the future.
And just final word, come up and see Bill Taylor at the Watson Gallery. Fantastic artist.
You can find the Watson Gallery on the first floor of 2 Perry Street in Masterton, right in the heart of town. It's open Tuesday through to Saturday, 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. You can see Bill Taylor's exhibition Tide Rack until the end of September. For more information about the gallery and upcoming shows, check out the Watson Gallery on Facebook and thewatsongallery.com.